Hey, Wednesday today. Anybody know what day it is?
Hump Day!
Don't you love that commercial? I've always wanted to do that with you again. Do it again. Let's do it again. Anybody know what day it is?
Hump Day!
I love it. Yeah, I love that camel. All right. Hey, welcome to chapel today. It is Hump Day. But here's the truth. Here's the truth of the gospel. Whether it's Hump Day, whether it's Monday, whether it's Friday, whether it's Saturday, the Lord wants to meet us and speak to us. And that's why we're here today. Grateful for Jared today, but also grateful for Beth Snyder. Come on in here closer, Beth Snyder. Beth is a member of the Board of Trustees here at Hope College, and but also Beth is a 1994 Hope graduate. Now, let me give you some wonderful hope for all those who are confused about your majors right now. Beth came here to be a nurse, changed that her sophomore year, graduated with a psych...
Junior year,
changed it to psych, soc, graduated, and now she's in the corporate world. I love a liberal arts education. It can get you anywhere. So, Beth is going to be speaking today, but she's also going to be speaking tonight at Wynett's Graves Auditorium, 7 o'clock, on this title, In Hope, Faith, Works, and Calling. It's a event co-hosted by Career Services and Campus Ministries. If you're confused and want to hear a great story and hear about Beth's life, come tonight, 7 o'clock. Beth right now works for ExxonMobil headquarters down in Talis, and her title is...
Corporate citizenship.
I like it. I don't know what it means. Let me pray for Beth. All right. Lord, we bless you for calling people like us to be a part of your kingdom purposes. Now give Beth a true sense of your calling to speak to us today. And we pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Beth Snyder?
Thank you. I graduated 20 years ago, and this is when you're supposed to gasp, because I couldn't possibly be that old. But seriously, prior to my graduation from Hope, I was part of a group that fervently prayed for 4 years for a revival on campus, for a vibrant faith community that sought to make much of Jesus. The Lord answered this prayer abundantly and in so many ways. Can we humbly, with grateful hearts, give the Lord praise for his grace and mercy for Hope College? I'm probably aging myself again, but do you remember the game Twister? I think we got a picture. How do you win? You physically contort your body in order to have your arms and legs on various colored dots. In many ways, this is analogous to life. For me, college in my early 20s were sort of like the game of Twister. Pick the right major, get the most financially secure job I could so that I'd make enough money to buy the things that I want and attract someone who fit into this perfect picture to marry me. And Jesus was somewhere in that mix. But if I'm really honest, I spent more time and energy on the other dots. It wasn't until my late 20s, through some painful, lonely, and heartbreaking experiences, that I was willing to truly surrender control of my life to Jesus. Finally, I understood that the gospel changes everything. To live an authentic life that brings glory to God, it has to. Otherwise, you're playing Twister. I went back to the basics. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I had to wrestle with these commandments and reorder my priorities, find my significance in Christ alone, discern God's calling on my life, and contemplate how to live on mission for him. And while I'm grateful for God's faithfulness and patience with me, what I wouldn't give to be in your place and to tackle these questions while I was in college, to have an active campus ministry and programs like the Emmaus Scholars to help you on this journey of being well-formed in the Christian faith. I encourage you to take advantage of these opportunities. I'd like to share with you a few thoughts and lessons I've learned on my journey of faith. First, only Jesus can satisfy your deepest longings and greatest need to be loved. I work with so many people that think if I only get the next promotion, a new boss, make more money, then I'll be satisfied. This is the same lie that Satan told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What God has provided isn't enough. It simply is not true. The business world I live in typically rewards success with money, status, access to power, and the opportunity to influence and shape decisions. The minute that I start to think it's all about me and shift the spotlight away from Jesus, I'm done. To quote Pastor Tim Keller, where you find your significance is where you find your salvation. Second, know whose you are. In Ephesians 2:13, Paul writes to the church, but now you belong to Christ Jesus. Though you were once far away from God, now you've been brought near to him because of the blood of Christ. I've had some incredible opportunities to foster and use my God-given talents and abilities. Leaders have mentored and invested me, and quite frankly, expect a lot of me. And in and of itself, these are good things. Yet I have to continually remind myself of who I ultimately serve, Jesus. Can I be real here? When my boss's boss starts emailing me at 6 a.m. on Easter Sunday, I tell her I'm going to church to worship, and her request is going to have to wait. Or when my business travels take me to a country that is closed to the gospel and regards women as second-class citizens, I know that I'm not going alone. Knowing that I belong to Christ has made all the difference. Third, always be ready. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to have reverence for Christ in our hearts. Honor him as Lord. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. Can I confess something here? I haven't always been ready. Partly because I wasn't well formed in the Christian faith, especially in my 20s. And also naively, I didn't realize that when I started to live out my faith in visible ways, it would elicit questions. The gospel changes everything. If you remember nothing else that I say this morning, remember that. And ask yourself, how has the gospel changed you? This is a question worth pondering with your community of fellow students, faculty, and staff. I'd like to close with a prayer written by Robert Louis Stevenson. Stevenson was raised in a Christian home, but abandoned his faith while in college. We likely know of his writings, Treasure Island, Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but probably not of his health issues, which included depression and alcoholism. Ian Murray, in his book, The Undercover Revolution, How Fiction Changed Britain, notes that Stevenson had rejected Christianity, hoping that he could achieve greater happiness without submitting to a restrictive creed, but eventually discovered that life without God was actually only a pilgrimage from nothing to nowhere. Stevenson died unexpectedly at age 44 of a brain hemorrhage. But his last writings were a collection of prayers published after his death. None of us truly know the condition of someone's heart, but my hope is that Stevenson returned to the Lord. Still, it's a bittersweet reminder of how short our time is here and begs the question, how do we want to invest our lives for the kingdom? Please bow your heads with me. Lord, behold our family assembled here. We thank thee for this place in which we dwell, for the love that unites us, for the peace accorded us this day, for the hope with which we expect tomorrow, for the health, the work, the food, and the bright skies that make our lives delightful. for our friends in all parts of the world. Let peace abound in our small company. Purge out of every heart the lurking grudge. Give us grace and strength to forbear and to persevere. Give us courage and gaiety and the quiet mind. Spare to us our friends, soften to us our enemies. Bless us, if it may be, in all of our innocent endeavors. If it may not, give us the strength to encounter that which is to come, that we may be brave in peril, patient in tribulation, temperate in wrath, and in all changes of fortune, down to the gates of death, loyal and loving to one another. As the clay to the potter, as the windmill to the wind, as children to their father, we beseech of thee this help and mercy. For Christ's sake, amen.